Morning again. If you don't know me, I'm Rajita, and today's Bible reading is from Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 to 19 from NLT. Notice what large letters I use as I write these closing words in my own. Those who are trying to force you to be circumcised want to look good to others. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. And even those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. They only want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. From now on, don't let anyone trouble me with these things, for I bear on my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning. For those who don't know me, I'm Brad. I'm one of the church leaders here. And today I get the job of closing down the book of Galatians. In the last month or so, we as a community have been faced with a number of crises, including a set of stabbings at Bondi Junction, where there were 6 innocent people were murdered and another 12 injured people. There have been 26 women this year die from domestic violence in 2024. And our politicians now say we have a national crisis, and their solution to that at the moment is giving these women some money, and I'm not sure that'll solve the problem. Even the death of 10 innocents who were killed in a bus accident in Singleton, and as the investigation's coming through, the gentleman who drove that bus was on prescription drugs, and he had been sacked from his last job for a similar style of taking drugs while driving, and yet he saw fit to drive a bus and endanger other people's lives. And so the question that I've had is, what is the state of the heart of people who have downspiraled to a point where they'll do something that may affect somebody else's life? And so today, as we close out the book of Galatians, I want us to think about a bit about our hearts and what our hearts reflect on our hearts. So we've just had a look at the review of Galatians. What have you heard from Galatians so far, those who have been here? What's the main theme you've heard? I want some type of response here. What have you heard?
Keeping in step with the Spirit. Okay,
keeping in step with the Spirit. What else?
Faith.
Faith?
Frees you from doing stuff.
Yep, good.
Sorry?
We're not under law. And so Fletcher's had a very strong saying he said to us. Jesus plus
nothing.
All right. And so that's what's come out in the video again. So let's just have a quick look at the end of these verses. And so Paul writes, notice in my large handwriting, he says, those who are trying to force you to be circumcised want to look good to others. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. And even those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. They only want you to be circumcised so that they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. And so the heart issue behind these people and what they were trying to do was based on selfishness. They wanted people to follow their way for their own purpose. And that's what Paul's been saying all the way through. This is not what we want to see. Then he goes on and he says, "As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the cross, my interests in this world have been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died." And so Paul saying that the values that we hold in this world don't apply to him anymore. So the world values, it's the kingdom values that he is living for now. And then he goes on and he says, "It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation." And there's that word that came out strongly. "May God's peace and mercy be on all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God." And so as we think back to all these crises that are occurring in our society and think about what is happening to those around about us, domestic violence, these stabbings, there's a difference between followers of Jesus because of where our heart's at and where people who do not follow Jesus are at with their heart conditions. Just this week, driving to Burwood, I went down the road that GRN on, and there's a lot of roadworks there. And as we came down, I had to merge into one lane from two. And so most people had gone, "Yep, we're going to line up in one line." And some jerk decided he was going to come right down the left-hand lane, and there was a truck, a car, then me. And I thought, "Oh, this guy's getting a bit pushy." And so he comes down beside me, and I thought, "What am I going to do?" And I went, "All right, let him in. He's being pushy. He must be in a hurry. Something must be going on." But he was not content to pull in between the car in front of me and myself. He pushed down further to be up beside the guy who was buying the truck. Now, the guy behind the truck had a different value system to me, and he was not going to let him in. And so they kept on going, and the curb was coming up, and so either the guy who was behind the truck was going to end in the wrong lane, or the guy was going to end up on the curb. And so eventually he ended up on the curb because the guy would not yield to him. And so he pulled in then, and the lights are flashing, the horns are blowing. And I'm looking at this going, there's a downward spiral here of a heart condition that this guy is going from, "I want to push in," to, "Now I've been mistreated because I didn't get the spot that I wanted," to, "Now I'm going to abuse this person." And I was waiting for him to get out the car and go and start attacking them. And I think, here's this downward spiral of the heart. And so what Paul is saying here is, where is our heart? Is it transformed into people who don't act that way? Or is living for ourselves what is the most important thing? So Paul in Galatians is asking us to be transformed or to be new people. And so I want to go on a bit of a diversion here and drop back into some of the teachings that Jesus did to see what Jesus taught in this space. And so when Jesus was on the cross and he cried out those words, "It is finished," I always thought, yep, he's completed his task here on earth. But if you just look at the first part of that verse in John 19, it says, Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And I thought, oh, what was his mission? Was it just to die, or what was his mission? So when you go back, there's actually a lovely verse in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. I won't read all this, but he's sitting in his hometown of Nazareth. Somebody's given him the book of Isaiah on a scroll. He unrolls it and he reads these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favour has come." Now, Steve referred to these verses when he spoke the other day. Then he rolled up the scroll and he said, "The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. And so that was his mission, to propagate this concept of what the good news was. And if you go a couple of verses later, the town was saying, stay here and keep on feeding us. And Jesus says, he replies, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that is why I was sent. And so Jesus then goes on a pilgrimage around Israel, telling people about the good news or the kingdom of God. And so what is the good news about the kingdom of God, and how does that affect our hearts? Did you know that the book of Matthew has 28 chapters in it? Yet Jesus refers to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of the skies more than 50 times in that teaching of the book of Matthew. So this is a really important thing to him. And so you can see here, I've just picked up one verse from Matthew, which is one of the things that he taught. Jesus replied, you must love the God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is equally as important. Love your neighbour as yourself. So there's just two kingdom values that Jesus has given us to live. Now, I was doing my quiet time the other day, and I've just started reading Acts, and I found a really, really interesting side effect here. What did Jesus do between his resurrection and his ascension into heaven? He spent 40 days with his disciples. What did he do in that time? Well, it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, and I'm going to start halfway through that. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles and from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. So there's the proof that he's saying, yep, I'm here, I'm alive, I've been resurrected. What I've been telling you is true. And then it says he talked to them about the kingdom of God. And so there's that prominence and that importance for what Jesus is doing. And so here's a question for you. We just read a verse that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And so that's this transforming power that Paul's talking about, if we allow those things to be modified by Jesus. And so the teaching that I've had over many, many, many years, and I just got up in a guy called Fleming, Don Fleming, he's got a Bible dictionary. I went and checked in what his teaching on this was. And the teaching that we've tended to have over time is that the heart and the mind can be interchanged. They're kind of the same thing. And yet when I read scripture, it is clearly says we have to have our hearts modified and our mind modified. They seem to be different things in scripture. So what I'm going to show you now is a little video that I've come across, because this has been really helpful for me in working out how do I transform my heart and what does my mind have in this place. So have a listen to this video. All right, something to think about and ponder. It would appear that our heart is actually also a place of storage for things like our likes, our dislikes, our immediate reaction to a situation. In fact, there's been some tests done recently where they've had flashcards shown to people, and they've actually measured the electrical pulses from the heart and the mind, and the heart always responds before the mind does. And so it's an interesting thing to start thinking about, because when we start looking at verses like this, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew the Holy Spirit in me, kind of takes on a slightly different sense. Because as we look at domestic violence and these type of things, if it's the heart that is driving these responses, then there's a vital importance that we as followers of Jesus will have our hearts modified and affected by our Lord Jesus Christ, which is this transformation that Paul's talking about. In page one on the Bible, Adam and Eve are given a choice, and they're given a choice to conform to God's values or to take on their own value system. And they made a choice for their heart not to reflect the image of God, but to reflect their own selfishness. And so we find on page 2 of the Bible, they made that choice. And if you follow the stories very quickly in the Bible, you get to Cain and Abel, and you can see the choices that they made had a downward spiral of the heart to where the two brothers end up being one of the brothers gets murdered. And so it's a really interesting process to be thinking through. If we reject God's heart and his values, then there are some things in our life that we based around selfishness and will affect other people. So Psalm 39 talks about, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. What does my heart reflect? What does my heart, what image does it reflect?" Proverbs 3, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own mind thinking." And so there's the two different processes coming out. And so the challenge today we're starting to think about here is how pure and how reflective is our heart of God's value system. The New Testament writers also point out the fact that our responses, whether good or bad, come from the state of our heart. Whether Matthew 6 says, "Whatever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also." What are our treasures? What do we treasure? Matthew 12 says, "A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of a evil heart." And so as we think about the things that are occurring in our society, you can see that the heart will affect the outcome or relationships between people. Mark 7 says, "It's not what goes into your body that defiles it. You're defiled by what comes out of your heart." And so for me, this picture of our heart being a part of the process of what we hold and value, and then our mind, makes it easier for me to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus and how I affect those areas in my life. Paul, at the end of his writings in Galatians, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit which come from the heart. They're not thinking processes, they are responses. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness and self-control. They are responses to situations. And so the Spirit is affecting people's hearts in what he's talking about. Gary gave a testimony the other day that 4 or 5 years ago he was an angry and non-peaceful person, and God has been changing his heart, and he testified to us he's found new peace and calmness and joy. And so you can see that God is working in his heart. We use the term, "Will you ask Jesus to come into your heart?" What does that mean? Because it's only through God and Jesus that our hearts can be changed to reflect his values and live a life that builds community and doesn't destroy it. And so there's a lovely verse in Romans 10, verse 8 to 13. And I really want us to think about this. And so if you've never given your life to Jesus and given your heart to him, here's a challenge for you from the Word of God. In fact, it says, this is from Romans 10, "The message is very close at hand, and it is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." It's powerful, isn't it? And so as we now start to take some time to think about Jesus and remember him, I'm just going to pray for those who are online and we'll let them go. But let's start thinking about how do we transform our hearts so our immediate responses honour God in the way that we go about reflecting and connecting with other people. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have made us in such a wonderful way and you've given us a heart that stores memories and concepts and values, and the way that we respond will show the flavour or the state of our hearts to any situation. Father, we are your people, or if we're not, I pray that we may want to give our hearts to you so that we can be your people and that we can be reflecting your heart image. We're made in your image, and that our heart may reflect your values in community, that we may build community, love people, love our neighbours, and reflect the things that you want us to reflect. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll say bye to those now who are online. Thanks for joining us today. And we're just going to roll into communion now. And I just want to throw another verse up there for you. And this has been a great challenge for me, because for me this is a prayer about the heart. Jesus said, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. Is that what we aim to do in how we live our lives? Keep his name holy. May your kingdom come soon. And so what is kingdom? The values that we live in and around people with us today, that reflects his image. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins. And here we go, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. That car passing manoeuvre, if there had been some forgiveness in that process, would it have got so touchy and such an issue? Probably not. And don't let us yield to the temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Let's take some time to remember our Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that he died so that we can be transformed and have the hearts that he wants us to have.